Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoeffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. Digital twins are virtual representations of real systems used to monitor and manage the operations of those systems, as well as to support their design. Airports have become a common focus for digital twins and infrastructure systems, but applications extend to a variety of public and private facilities, and much of the work is centered in architectural and engineering firms. Here to help us understand digital twins and their applications to infrastructure systems is Howard Schatz. Howard is vice president at Aurora Engineers, where he leads the global smart infrastructure practice. He is former director of the digital twin and digital advisory practice at Parsons Corporation. Howard has more than 31 years of experience implementing digital technology within the architecture, engineering, construction industry, and he's a graduate in architecture from Temple University. Howard, I'm glad to have you with us today on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So, easy question. What are digital twins?
Now, as you mentioned, a digital twin is a virtual representation of real-world entities and processes. And the twin and its entity synchronize as needed and represent various levels of detail to support established use cases. An easy example would be something like a bridge. And in a bridge, you would have a model, and that model could be developed through a variety of methods such as scanning or survey, creating a BIM model, building information model. And then within the twin, you also have a few other major components. One is the level of detail. We call that the fidelity of the model. In that bridge example we're using, the bridge model might be of a relatively low fidelity, meaning it's more of a massing model. And it's used very specifically to locate the bridge in GPS coordinates and also provide the size and location of various elements used for inspection. So its purpose is of a high utility in that level of fidelity. A different use case might ask for analysis of the bridge based upon wind or deformation, impact of various trucks and cars riding over it. And it might require a higher level of fidelity, and that model might have the structural elements embedded and materiality analysis embedded within the model, so it has a higher level of fidelity. The other component of a twin is synchronizing. So synchronizing between the twin and the virtual representation in the real world, and that's done through two basic mechanisms. One is an observation, bringing information into the virtual environment. And that could be through a bridge inspection, for example, on a runway in an airport, you might do a facility assessment, and that observation brings information in. The twin can also provide information back, and that's an intervention. So you might have an observation that looks at the condition of a bridge road surface or a runway surface and provides suggestions about preventive or prescriptive maintenance back. The other component that's important in a twin is frequency. So the frequency of how often that synchronization happens is very important. In an inspection, for example, of a bridge, it might happen infrequently, every few years. In something that's more frequent, such as sensor information coming in on a runway, that would happen much more quickly because it's important in that use case to provide information back into the twin platform so that it can provide an intervention or suggest intervention analysis.
Let me ask you a question about frequency. Could the frequency be essentially real time, that is, sensors reporting back or synchronizing with the DT in real time?
Absolutely. If you had sensors such as temperature sensors, wind sensors, stress strain sensors coming in on a variety of pieces, or such as in a water treatment plant, you might have flow rates and power sensors. And in that use case, the sensors would be reporting back very quickly because the amount of synchronization and the desired intervention is much more critical.
So how would I use that? Would I use that for real-time control of the, let's use the water treatment plant as an example?
Yes, you could. So in the water treatment plant, let's take the idea that you have a certain amount of flow coming through, and through a variety of sensors, you're getting flow rates, and you have a capacity, you have a certain capacity limit. You might then adjust the flow rates and the amount of information coming through the water treatment plant, or you might slow down certain traffic on a bridge based upon the capabilities of what the sensors are providing through the IoT, Internet of Things information back into the twin, and then what the twin is putting together and informing back into the real world and adjusting. And it can provide it directly if it's set up that way, or it would provide something to the operators to adjust and maintain a balance.
So directly, that to me means automated control. That is, you bring the sensor data in, make a decision, and send back a message to control the system automatically.
Correct.
Okay. So the digital twin can work in a variety of different, you use the term frequency, I would say time frames, real time or less than real time. And I'm wondering, are you using DTs to operate in faster than real time? That is, to make predictions and test options.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in a simulation model, once you have the those initial pieces, the model, the synchronization, the level of detail built, and you're looking, for example, in a smart city situation where you might be looking at planning or you might be looking at traffic monitoring in a multimodal analysis, meaning that you have multiple construction sites around the city and you're not exactly sure what would happen to traffic based upon the impacts. The twin could take that information using its ability to ingest machine learning or AI capabilities. It could then provide analysis back and project out future scenarios to optimize what you're able to do and minimize impact in the real world.
So in a field that I know a little bit more about, in transportation planning, we've long used mathematical models to make predictions to test network investment options. Would that fall into the category of digital twins, or are digital twins something more than that?
I think it would fall into the category of twins, and yes, with the more information and real-time capabilities, it would augment the capabilities of the twin to provide more granular predictive analysis.
But still, I go back to the notion of still kind of looking ahead and testing options and then making a decision either automatically or with human intervention.
Correct.
So you've done some applications, I think, as I understand it, in the area of airports. Can you tell us something about those applications? What was the purpose and what value did you get out of it?
So the purpose were twofold. In one example, there was a look of using energy efficiency, of how to optimize energy efficiency within an airport terminal. And that was in combination with NREL, the National Renewable Energy Lab, to provide a platform that would look at an airport terminal, look at the mechanical, electrical systems, the assets within those systems, and provide that up to a platform that an algorithm could be created to ingest that information and then provide scenarios where the efficiency could be optimized at a terminal level. That was known as Project Morpheus. And there was also another example where they were looking outside the terminal from a passenger experience on the land side being outside of airport security. And then how would traffic move through a complicated airport environment? And what would happen if you had various scenarios of construction or you had scenarios of traffic impacts from outside the airport? That was Project Athena. So the goal there was to go through a proof of concept understanding using a twin that had those elements of the model, the synchronization, et cetera, providing information up, and then provide both on the terminal as well as a runway to look at what would happen within a runway, looking at the elements of that, which also has several components to it, such as the various sections of the runway, lighting controls, signage controls, for example, monitoring stations, and provide information back to the operators about what was happening so that they would have a more timely understanding in that frequency discussion we were having, what was happening both on the air side and land side through a couple of these examples.
Presumably the operator would have information to guide actions to change the operations, to manage the operations of, let's say, the runway.
Correct. There'd be, if you had foreign object debris on the runway, or you various scenarios where lighting or control systems required certain maintenance, part of the ability of the twin through that observation, that input model, would allow them to provide more timely interventions and increase their operation, lower their cost of maintenance, for example.
In the airport applications that you just described, was that a real deployment? That is, it was applied to an operating system?
Yes. That was applied to their existing building control systems, where there was integration with those building control systems feeding information in. There's also, within that same facility, there are monitors for parking stalls, which give real-time analysis of what's happening in parking, as well as even bathroom monitoring connected up. So there's the ability to look at what's happening within the different facilities.
So is that kind of an application going forward? That is, our airports looking at that and deciding to invest in digital twins to manage their operations?
They are. They're looking at a variety of use cases from both the land side and the air side in terms of the passenger experience. There's a few different approaches to it. There's the passenger experience, how to optimize the ability of a passenger to know when to leave their home, for example. What is happening within the airport, whether it's traffic on the way in, what's happening through security gates, what type of experience would they have depending if they're a business traveler or a family traveling. And then certainly the airport operator is looking to provide the optimal experience for the airline so that as they come into the airport and use the facilities, what's the optimal amount of turns that airports can have to come in and out of the airport and also have that seamless integration between the passenger experience and the airline's efficiency.
So picking up on this particular application, what performance measures are you using? My understanding is that you've got this digital twin and you're testing options and it's producing some forecasts of performance measures that are the basis for decision.
Right. So the performance metrics would be based upon, from an asset perspective, an infrastructure perspective, how well is the facility performing? What is our ability to manage our predictive maintenance and planned maintenance and manage any kind of outages in the in that example? There's also the optimization of energy, as I mentioned, looking at the current state of what is happening through the facility at various times of day and optimizing the utilities to match the loads that are happening in more of a real-time way.
Are you working on applications where the digital twin makes a recommendation? Here's an issue, here's the situation, try this option.
Exactly. Getting more towards prescriptive, whether it's prescriptive maintenance, for example, if the system is observing through various inputs that there is a potential asset health issue, such as the amount of utilization is higher than anticipated, and coming up with alternatives to minimize the impact, such as automated people movers or vertical conveyance, such as escalators. If it's seeing that these could have a problem and might go down through the analysis, it can provide alternatives to maintain a high degree of operations in advance of that event actually happening, so that the experience on all parties is optimized.
Are you seeing other facilities or systems where digital twins are now becoming more commonly used?
Quite a few. There's opportunities within energy and utilities, for example, where they're looking at both the generation and distribution of the utilities out into the community and how to optimize that. As we were mentioning, the water, wastewater, also another asset class that is very interested because these asset classes have the requirement of a high degree of uptime and reliability. So the more they're able to understand what is happening dynamically within their facilities and distribution networks, the higher they can perform, and they're able to be in front of the curve, so to speak, maintain a longer asset lifespan for their infrastructure and provide a higher degree of reliability by knowing what's happening in a more dynamic way.
Are you seeing managers using digital twins to support crisis management, disruption management, examining reconfiguration options?
It's becoming much more discussed, and the ability of having, for example, at the city level, some of the things we've been discussing is if you have a large event, could be such as the upcoming Olympics that are coming to the United States, and you have what would be a large disruption going into that event, and then you have certainly have a lot of activity happening there. There's a desire to have much better understanding of what is currently happening, have a good assessment, and then be able to look at various scenarios and utilize that capability to minimize disruption and improve the overall efficiency.
What about applications to disasters, for example, floods or fires?
Yes, definitely. So in a first responder scenario, the ability to deploy, whether it is human responders or drones or various pieces, and having the ability to see what would the disaster recovery plan look like by understanding where items are located, where that event might have happened if it was a hurricane or flood, understanding what would happen in a city that has low-lying areas, and using GIS, for example, which is a very powerful tool on a larger horizon scape to analyze and provide alternatives ahead of time. And even in real time, where it's able to provide very quick alternatives that might not be discussed in a real-time scenario because so many things are happening on the ground.
Yeah, it seems to me that underlying the digital twin is collecting what could be a huge amount of data and integrating those data to make them useful to a decision maker or a manager.
That is true. The critical piece in terms of the amount of information collected, the degree of fidelity and synchronization is that use case, as you mentioned. I think there is a little bit of concern among the owners, for example, and operators, that it is a heavy burden to provide that core data set. A lot of the community, the engineering community, architectural community, and the technical community is looking to right-size the relationship between the amount of information needed and the use case. There has been a tendency probably to do too much, to go too detailed, and if you understand the use case and the desired output, then you can right-size what information is needed. It doesn't all have to be heavily detailed and monitored for every use case.
It just strikes me that once one gets into this business, that the use case changes because you begin to see the capabilities.
Absolutely, absolutely. What there is, it's a continuous improvement process, which is at the core of implementing a twin, is your ability to advance the overall operation and maintenance and expansion of your infrastructure becomes more aligned. And the use cases, then you can either evolve a use case or you might retire that use case depending on what has happened over time. And the continuous improvement cycle becomes shorter and shorter. That's part of the ideal, is to shorten that time frame between the action, the intervention, and the observation, for example.
So when you come into a new project, what does it take to create a digital twin?
It's a great question. What you're looking for, the first pieces that you're going in terms of that operation is to really have an understanding of what is happening in the organization. What is going on in the governance system and the data system that they're looking for. And there's a few steps that you go through that you would walk through in terms of initial observation of the infrastructure, an understanding of the use cases that are being put together, the degree of fidelity of the models that you might need, and where those systems are, And then you would also be putting together the integration and again, right-sizing that so that you're able to provide the analytics. So there is a process to it. There's a few steps to it. And part of the initial steps that you would go through in implementing a TWN are to assess the time frame and the main goals of the organization and develop that analytics.
It would seem like it would be a lot easier to implement a digital twin for a new system, at the creation stage, as opposed to coming into an existing system and trying to add a digital twin onto it.
Well, it does depend. Starting from a greenfield perspective has an advantage that you're able to start in the design, planning, construction process. So you have certain abilities of putting together the models and the data sets early and handing them over to the operational side through more of a continuous process. However, in reality, a lot of the existing facilities have a great deal of infrastructure, obviously within aviation or critical infrastructure. You can start at any point where you have a sufficient model and you have some sufficient connectivity and implementation. So I wouldn't want to dissuade someone from starting at any point where they have an applicable need to move forward with a twin.
Presumably, once you've got this going, a digital twin created and operating, at some point you ought to be able to walk away and leave it in the hands of the owner-manager.
Absolutely true. The goal really is to help that operator and manager understand what their facility is doing and create that relationship. I do think that as the operators and owners become more comfortable with the technology, there will be a good alignment of roles between the design community, the construction community, the operation community, and there will be a certain, I think, balance of how that moves forward over time with the various communities to allow the owners and operators to take a more active role in managing the twin and how it works within their organization.
Howard, at the beginning of this conversation, you mentioned BIM, building information models. What's the connection between digital twins and BIM?
So building information modeling is one of the primary tools that allows you to build a three-dimensional representation. It's not the only tool, but it is one of the main tools in infrastructure. And there's a few other tools that are also used, such as geographical information systems, GIS. BIM is one. There's also the ability to connect information between, such as integration tools. And so the BIM model allows that capability, and then building the model in a way with the proper level of detail, that proper fidelity, then is a foundational element of building the twin.
So as I understand it, it seems to me that the BIM model becomes the digital twin, or it's an integral combination.
Correct. It is one of those main ingredients to developing that twin platform. The model, the frequency, the fidelity, the synchronization, those elements are the basic ingredients of a twin advancing beyond what would be somewhat of a representation or a simulation.
Yeah.
Those four elements together are providing the full potential.
Right. But as you go to digital twin, you're really adding dimensionality that isn't in the BIM model.
Correct.
So are there security issues associated with this? If I have a DT of a system that I'm managing, do I need to worry about invaders tinkering with the system?
So part of what has happened recently, this is where the ability of a digital twin to provide a lot of value, is the security of cloud computing, edge computing, which are devices out on the peripheral closer to the real world, that level of security has increased dramatically, and the ability to understand what's happening. In some implementations, the owner and operator may wish to keep that on premises and put more security around the twin so that it has it is more secure. However, a lot of the cloud-based environments are quite secure now, so the operators are looking towards those capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Interesting times. Howard, I really appreciate your giving me a bit of an education on digital twins. I feel like I know a lot more than I knew before this conversation started. And it looks, sounds to me like there's a really exciting future ahead of you as you pursue applications and capabilities.
Thank you so much. There is a huge opportunity within the digital twin space, and the certainly with the ability of artificial intelligence capabilities and generative AI, I think that those opportunities will grow exponentially.
Okay. Well, I wish you great success in pursuing these, and we'll try to keep an eye on what you're doing. So thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.